You're entering a realm which is unusual. Maybe it's magic or contains some kind of monster. The second one. Prepare to enter.
Welcome to the world of tomorrow!
Good news, everyone!
With
I'm your host, Daniel.
Guest, Spoon, and your host, Macaulay Culkin.
Willem Dafoe.
Dua Lipa.
Freddie Prince Jr.
Speaking of a three-name celebrity,
Bryan Cranston.
What else? What else?
The Lohan twins.
The Lohan twins. You mean it's just her on split screen, like in Parent Trap?
Yeah. It's
Lindsay and the lesser known Binzy Lohan.
Blinzy. Blinzy, you're always taking my spotlight.
Blinzy.
Classic Blinzy.
You always thought
Lohan.
You were better than me, Blinzy.
Blinzy, well, look who's the star now. That reminds me of being at your house in, God, I want to say fourth grade, and your brother was reading The Onion. And it was like the first time I'd ever even like heard of like news on purpose being
the original fake news.
The original fake news. And the article was disgruntled third Olsen.
Yes, that one is a classic.
And she's like got a claw and she's like looking up from a pile of filth with like giant hillbilly, like those hillbilly fake teeth.
It's literally
holy fuck,
that episode of Rugrats where the rejects go to the basement.
Oh my God, the reject kids. Yes, I forgot about
that. That one scared the shit out of me because that giant baby, Nightmare Baby.
Nightmare Baby? Is that like Emmett, the one who was like...
He's just super
gummy.
Oh my
God, it was 2003, the Onion published a story claiming the Olsen twins. Wait, so 2003, we would have been in middle school then.
Yeah. I don't think it was fourth grade.
Yes, wait.
Fourth grade was like literally... PD looked it up, I'm sure.
Look at her fucking hand.
Share her. Share that damn screen.
Holy fuck. Okay, wait. Do you see her?
It's still loading.
Holy fuck, bro. It's still equally as funny. God damn.
While that loads,
equally as funny, literally 20 years ago.
Literally 20 years ago. It's still loading for me, but in the meantime, I'll just. Oh my God. That's even worse than I remembered.
Clearly one of the writers because she's got like a hairy chest.
Yeah.
Like it's definitely one of the writers. They just like photoshopped a couple of the fingers to
and
be
way like
off. And
there's like newspaper with like rat poop on it and stuff.
Disgruntled third
Ethel.
Olsen triplet.
Ethel Olsen. The previously unknown Olsen.
Holy shit.
All right, Petey, you were the one who asked for a tight 45, so.
Oof. Okay, I'm sorry. I needed a giggle today. Someone yelled, or one of the people yelled at me at work, and I was like, all right, fuck.
Someone yelled at you?
It wasn't internal, but they told me to have some fucking class, one of the people, because I went around, they told me to fuck myself, so I went around their back and talked to their client instead, because fuck it, they're our client too.
Wait,
like, have some fucking class. And he sent me an email and then he called me and he like left me a voicemail and it was like, are you out of your fucking mind?
Wait, what? Like, that's unhinged.
Yeah. And he was like, have some class, bro. I was like, you're calling me, cussing me out and calling
much like,
me bro
much
and
like,
I have no class?
Much like a single woman who eventually meets somebody online and then deletes the dating app from her phone. That is unhinged.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, well, I want the story when we get to good news.
Yes, no.
In the meantime, guys, welcome back to the World of Tomorrow, a Futurama-centric podcast. This is none other than the season 5 wrap-up episode where we go through our rankings of the episodes of the season. We have so many episodes to get through.
And red wine is the worst for my sores.
Ugh, it so is.
Tim and Eric, this is the end of the original series.
This is the end of the original run. When we come back, we will no longer be on Fox. Yeah. Guys, the soundboard is
on Comedy Central.
Out of commission. Once again, Riverside, we love you, but also don't tempt us with a soundboard if it's not going to work, okay?
True.
We do pay you money for this, so.
I wish I could play that Sarah McLachlan, like, in the arms.
Yeah, like, in loving memory of the World of Tomorrow soundboard.
Well, no one's going to say in the background, you could be like, for 48 cents a day, you too could take care of Willie and Daniel's soundboard.
Yeah, and then it's like, ooga, ooga. Toilet flush, burp.
In memoriam. Okay, I'm feeling better now.
Okay, good. My guy got a little chortle and a little chuckle, and now this unhinged man. Guys, basically what we're going to do today is we're going to count down backwards from the lowest ranked episode to the highest ranked. We have 16 episodes to get through, so we are going to be flying by. But hopefully this is a little bit of a nostalgia boost for you. Before we jump
Call me a pilot
Okay. Who
enjoys both sexes, because we are going to be flying by.
Okay, there you go. I like it.
All right, the dust is coming up.
All right, the dust is coming up. Tip of the tongue.
Top of the teeth.
Top of the teeth. All right. Well, we don't have our good news sound effects, so that's a little bit rough. But
should we try it together?
Yeah. 3, 2, 1. Good news,
good
everyone.
Good news, everyone.
This time I would like to go first. I'll go first.
Yes, enchant.
Okay, so I'm so excited. We finally, it is the end of the season, but you know, I'll take it. When beggars can't be choosers. We now have some season sponsors, season 5 sponsors. Now, these are a mix of local and kind of larger brands and stores. So I'm just going to give you some of our sponsors. We'd like to send a big shout out to them. First off, Absolutely. Is Odell's Pasture Raised Cows. These cows are raised all naturally, and each one attends a cow seminary school, so they are pastor raised.
Pastor, fuck you.
We'd also like to thank Butter. I hardly know her. Brand margarine spread. And again, that is the only sex-safe margarine that doesn't test on animals.
Thank God. I've been asking. The market's been demanding this for years.
We'd also would love to thank Birdie Bot's Every Flavor Beans, Oops All Piss. Wishing for piss flavor? These are for you. We'd also like to thank Hardcore Tutors. Violence is the answer. We hit kids so you don't have to. Oh,
have you ever simply sat down with your children, turned off?
That's why they reached out. That's why. That's why they reached out, because that episode's
that's
in the
episode.
Season.
Yeah.
We'd also like to thank Tombstone's new necrotic pizza. Artisan pepperoni and organic flesh-eating bacteria on a crispy crust.
On a crispy, baked in a buttery, crispy,
buttery, flaky crisp. And last but certainly not least, we'd love to thank Montgomery Shit Wipes, reusable toilet paper with a hint of mint.
Tastes like mint. Actually, I take that back. I put on bum balm and it is mint and clover flavored. So.
Wait, what?
Not flavored, scented.
There you go. Called, you answered your own question.
It's called Bum Balm, and it's because some men get chapped butts.
Oh, okay.
Put Bum Balm on when I get outside out of the shower, and it's clover and mint smelling. But they also have like a gay smell they go after, because I've seen ads that are focused towards like straight and gay men. Like, does your man's butt smell? And it's like a woman. And then it's like the gay one is like, do you eat ass?
Yeah, basically. Like, I feel like for the straight one, it's like maybe they should just take a shower and that's all they really need. They don't need to have butt bowl.
I think
it probably just means you're not taking care. Also, you're not wiping well enough or something.
And some men don't wash their buttholes. Brian from college did not ever.
What?
He's like, I don't touch my butthole in the shower. And Will was like, what? For touching your butthole? We were like, how disgustingly poopy and crusty is your butt that you never wash in the shower?
Literally, his butt is dirtier than a dog's.
Right. Go between
they
the
can't
cheeks,
even wipe.
Bro.
They can't even wipe. Okay. All right. We'll get more butt talk in during. Don't worry. Daniel's here, so we're definitely going to talk about butts.
True.
Coming in at our...
It's my duty to talk booty.
Yes, there you go. coming in episode... Our lowest ranked episode, coming in at number 16.
Number 16.
Episode 9, The Sting. Now... I gave this a 2. Yeah, Daniel gave this a 0.75, the lowest rating we've ever had ever on the podcast.
And I would say that was generous. That was genre of me.
Right, because I think that most of that comes from the space travel, correct?
Space travel and, yeah, no one likes a delirium. It's like that HBO version. Again, every HBO show has one episode of the season where it's like a delirium dream. They did it. I get it. It was a very famous trope. Like Sopranos did it every season.
Dallas famously. Seasons.
Yes, exactly. Like, I get why they had to do it. Whoa. They executed it well, but I just hate that trope.
That was like deep. Registered low frequencies there.
It was a baritone for sure.
So that what we get, that was an average of 1.38, and that is absolutely tiny. That is the one where the crew goes to harvest like space honey, and then Leela gets injured and is dreaming the whole episode. And Daniel really was not looking forward to this episode before we watched it. And then when we watched it, it was like seeing him with ants in his pants. He did not enjoy it.
No,
and we're not talking about the sexy type of ants.
No, not those sexy Brazilian bullet ants that are the most painful in the world. No, I mean, there were a couple okay quotes like, oh, I made myself sad, which is good. But no, nothing right home about.
Well, in the interest of time, we're going to need to speed through these. But let us get to our number 15.
Number 15.
Episode number 5, Kif gets knocked up a notch. Bam.
Ah, bam.
This one got an average of 2.75 out of 5.
That's like 1.4 more than the other ones. Or the other
one. It's basically twice the it's almost exactly twice the score. So I gave that a 2.5 and you gave that a 3.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was anything to write home about. And by write home about, I mean, literally, I only wrote like
eight
a third
lines.
Of a page of notes. Yeah, I didn't have a whole lot to say about it. The only thing I will say is I was disappointed that it wasn't the one where, and now eat the two-headed
snake. We love the swamp lady.
Yes.
You don't have to. I just had an extra snake lying around.
I had an extra snake. Exactly.
I'm also the lunch lady.
Yeah, well, yes, it was the grand lunch lady. But this does have the one of our favorite quotes. Spare me a space age techno babble, Attila the Hun.
Oh, right, because it's like the simulation room malfunctions and it's like evil Lincoln, Attila the Hun, and who is the third? Some other English, like an English
Moriarty.
Moriarty. And they all come to real life.
Very good.
Also has space travel.
Also, lots of space travel. Some good zap in there. Again, it wasn't a bad episode. It just
All these rankings, you know, 1 out of 5, 2 out of 5, not great. But this is Futurama, so you know, this is compared to other Futurama episodes. If we're going to compare this to other TV shows, most of these are still going to be way better.
1,000%. Yeah, exactly. Like if you were to compare the like the Sting, the bottom episode of this series, to
American
a standard
Dad.
Episode of the or a standard episode of the Simpsons. I know it's a Matt Groening joint, but they're just so much further in.
I'm going to rather watch The Sting.
I'd rather watch The Sting.
I'd rather watch The Sting.
Wow. I haven't seen Kyle Dunnigan recently, actually. I haven't seen anything he's posted. Have you?
I haven't. Maybe he's been a little bit more quiet or doing other things.
Taking a hiatus? Oh, yeah.
I don't know. But coming in at number 14.
14.
Episode number 3, The Root of All Evil. That is root spelled like route.
Yeah, like square route.
Like the quickest route to get there.
Right, but I don't understand why it's spelled that way.
Because it's like how, it's like, it's about the journey?
Hey, not the death. I guess you could say like Route 66, R-O-U-T-E.
Yes.
Okay, it's just two. Okay.
This is a robot devil one, correct?
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Yeah.
Here's something.
Yes, I think it is.
Coffee.
It is.
The first time I had coffee, it was a tea. I was drinking in Jerry's car, getting coffee with Carl the comedian.
And then one time I burnt my face. You can't drink hot liquids. I don't know.
I spilled it out everywhere.
Carry on.
We gave this one an average of 3.25, and we were locked in there. Both of us had a 3.25, so we thought exact same thing about the episode.
This is not the robot devil. This is the kids get a paper root, which is why it's the root of all evil.
Got it.
And then you hear the little guy goes, au revoir!
Oh, yeah, yeah. The cartoon guy or whatever, the little French dude.
From some like French cartoon, like French Canadian cartoon. Yeah, exactly.
Also, trust me, I assume.
Yes, definitely. Yes, Tress McNeil. Yeah. Anyone playing a 10-year-old or under is Tress McNeil, regardless of the sex.
Yeah. Very true.
So my highlight from this one is Fry goes, no, I'm doesn't, when they're brewing beer.
I love that.
The universe doesn't end.
That was a relatively improvised, I believe we learned that was an improvised line, didn't we?
Yes. Yeah, we did. You told us all about it. You were telling us how this, like a lot of the episode itself was
there was
like
a Billy West thing I saw
of the director.
There was a Billy West thing I saw where he was basically talking about his voice acting career, and he was saying with Futurama, like some of those lines he would just kind of like ad hoc or like improvise or whatever, ad lib, excuse me, or improvise.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, the ad hoc is like a bird that brings me all the like coupons and like flyers.
Also, a very funny line from this was, and I also did this dish last night for my meal prep, so how very fortuitous, but may an old man have some more
beef bourguignon
and another
and
tequila,
tequila slammer. and something tells me those do not pair very well.
I'm guessing they donate.
Tequila with like a French or an Italian beef flavor is not...
Italian or French, rather. Yeah.
French
flavors.
Apparently
white wine is supposed to pour with it. I don't know.
I think any type of red or white wine would go well with a bourguignon, but like tequila? Tequila maybe with like a fish. Something with fish.
I could see like if you had like an agave aspect to like the like a fresh fish dish, you could like pair it with like a tequila soda.
A ceviche.
Get up with Ethel. Eat the ceviche. Throw the wrapper down.
Don't you know been there? Open that hole. Step on in.
JB Smoove, phenomenal comedian. You think about
he's in Quay had us watch for the first time for me seeing it, Pootie Tang a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I've never seen. I remember that.
It's like it's like early Chappelle, early fucking canceled ass Ginger, C.S. Lewis, Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. C.S. Lewis.
Didn't he write like the Narnia books or something?
I think so,
or Holes?
Yeah.
Or he wrote Holes?
No, C.S. Lewis was like the 1800s,
I think he maybe wrote Narnia then. He was the one who took his wang out in front of those women and got canceled.
Yeah.
No, well, Louis C.K. He wrote and directed this movie, but it's like a very, it's like a late 90s, early 2000s sort of parody of like a blaxploitation movie from the 70s. And it's like very heavy on Chris Rock. He's kind of narrating a lot of it. But anyway, it's a funny movie. But J.B.
Smith, you were right. It was Narnia, so and it was 1900s.
So good, it was nice. Yeah, he was like World War II era or something. World War
I. Yeah, 1898 to 1963 were his years active. And by active, I mean alive.
Active in terms of his bodily functions.
In terms of his life. Yeah, exactly.
Active in terms of him being alive.
Technically correct.
The best kind of correct.
Correct.
Damn, I need to get that on the soundboard.
How do we not even have that?
How do we not have that?
Because then we'll have it.
Yeah, something. Coming in at number 13.
13.
Nice. Episode 13 of the season, Bend Her. I hardly know her.
I liked this one. I'm surprised it's so low.
Well, we gave this one, it came out with an average 3.5. We both scored 3.5. So I think it was like slightly above.
Yeah.
So this is a good season. And so even though this, I feel like 3.5 ends up being around our, 3 to 3.5 are kind of like our average.
Yeah.
Like we feel good about it, but it's nothing special, nothing to write home about. That's kind of our average range, even though technically 2.5 is the average of 1 through 5. But anyway.
Oh, God.
Technically,
0.33. Repeating, of course.
Repeating, of course.
Leroy.
So anyway, but this is a good season, so it's only going up from here, folks.
Yeah. Absolutely. This was. I mean, it was Terry Hatchett. It was a good one. It wasn't like, again, like you said, anything to write home about. One of my favorite quotes was Bender being, "I'm so embarrassed. I wish everyone else was dead."
Love that line.
I feel that all the time.
I wish everyone else was dead.
I wish everyone else was dead.
Unfortunately for me, the problem with that would be that I could still be embarrassed, even though everyone
else that's actually
dead.
True. I get embarrassed alone.
Oh yeah, it's like cats. Like how you know, like if a cat falls or trips, like it kind of gets up and looks around, like nobody saw that.
Right. Exactly. You saw nothing.
You saw nothing.
Yeah, I would say this is kind of an unremarkable episode.
Coming in at number 12.
12.
Also episode 12. That's two in a row.
Oh, wow.
Spanish Fry.
Oh, yes. Okay. We're getting in some good ones now.
Yeah. So this got an average of 3.63. I scored it a 3.5 and Petey scored it a 3.75.
And this is the episode where Fry's lower horn is to be eaten by Inda and harvested, prepared, and consumed as an aphrodisiac by Inda Inda and Lur of the planet Omicron Persei 8. However, they think it's his nose is a sexual organ originally.
And then Bender tips them off.
And then Bender tips them off. Still pisses me off that they put Petunia in here and it's the wrong voice to this day.
Oh, in the cabin or whatever that the park ranger, Ranger Park.
Yes, park ranger, the ranger. Ranger Park, the park ranger.
Ranger Park, the park ranger.
Yes. Some of my favorite highlights were when they go to the like smutty bazaar in space. They're like judging the lizard who's like clearly dressed up like some greasy like smut peddler. And he's like, "Hey, I'm a porno dealing monster from space. What do you think I care what you think of me?"
But Leela's threat of violence certainly works to get them to him to talk.
Exactly. Yeah. And then just the inordinate number of dick jokes. Like, I'm not one to toot my own horn. And Bender's like, "He's used to it." Woo!
The same sound as when Bender's a human in that What If episode and he becomes
exactly
like
the same.
Like,
yeah.
But I heard him woo at the start of the, like, no, that was just fat air escaping from the fat rolls.
Woo!
Woo! All right. We're quickly descending this list, guys. Coming in at number 11.
Number 11. Okay, I just echoed exactly what you did.
Episode 4, Taste of Freedom.
In a worse way, too. To episode 4.
A Taste of Freedom.
I was trying to confirm. A Taste of Freedom.
I was just filling the
casem
empty air.
Oh, okay, good.
As you leafed through your notes. So this one we scored a 3.75 average. I gave it a 3.5, and PD gave it a 4.
Nice. Now,
there is a theme going on, which is I'm the Simon Cowell of this season.
I know, and usually I'm the
season
Simon
one
Cowell.
And two, I was the Paula.
Yes,
or perhaps the Randy.
Or perhaps
it's gonna be a ye from me dog.
Yes, A Taste of Freedom is the episode where Zoidberg eats the Earthican flag on Freedom Day, where they celebrate for the freedom to do whatever they want. Kind of an
freedom, 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 oi, freedom, 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 oi.
Kind of like an anarcho purge-esque, but in a Matt Groening way, where you can do pretty much anything
whatever
other
you want.
Than
What Zoidberg did,
which was eat the flag out of, you know, he was swelled with patriotic mucus, was his excuse, I suppose. But we get a lot of really good Nixon in it. We get a lot of like good decapodians, like, sure, you can be a doctor if you've given up on your dreams of becoming a comedian. There's so many good ones. How Free Waterfall Senior. Where I'm laughing at it.
If you can name a planet and a weapon, if you name a body part and a weapon, I've been shot in it on it.
And he's got all these things where he's defending Zoidberg, and he's like basically mixing very popular and very unpopular things. Like, that's why I believe in freedom of religion. My Satanist wife and I.
And yeah, like, or I'm polyamorous or whatever.
Yeah, I like things.
I'm polygamy.
I've died for freedoms. Freedom's like polygamy. And I was like, boo. He's like, my husband will hear about rare, this.
And a rare double whammy.
Decision.
Yeah. The Supreme Court also rules that polygamy is legal.
But my favorite quote from this entire fucking episode is when he's standing in front of the Mobile Oppression Palace is what it's called. He's standing in front of the Mobile Oppression Palace.
The Mobile Oppression Palace.
And he's waving old freebie, which is like the Star Spangled Banner version of the flag. And he's like, you can crush me, but you can't crush my spirit. And then the claw comes down and smashes him, and he goes, ah, my spirit. Just so
good.
Simple and clever. And the voice acting pulled it off so well.
It is the performance, because like that type of joke now I think is a little bit played out, right? Like,
oh yeah,
it's a little
absolutely
bit telegraphed, but it's really the performance on this one that you think it might not be that, and then it is.
Yeah. That trope gets me every time. I don't care. This was probably one of the first times I heard it, so it gives me the biggest of all tickles. Oh yes, but phenomenal, phenomenal episode. What did I get again?
3.75.
Okay, yeah, that's about right. I'd say
so. You gave it a 4.
Paula, hey, Paula was feeling it that day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of my car and into my rankings. You know what I'm saying? coming in at number 11. Oops, that
I
was
that was 11.
Sorry.
Yeah,
coming
wait,
in at number 10.
Ding.
Episode number 14, Obsoletely Famous.
Obsoletely Famous. This is the one where
Robot X, Robot 1X.
Oh, yes.
What?
I'm not the biggest fan of this one.
What?
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 Your I mother. Do like it. I do like it, but I think you have to score higher on this than I did, didn't you?
I think that I did. So this one we gave a average 3.88. I gave it a 4. PD gave it a 3.75. So
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I do really like this one. It tickles me that Bender downgrades, but then he's just made out of wood, which doesn't necessarily make him less complicated than a metal robot.
Right.
If he still has all the same functionality.
Probably more complicated.
A robot that is still like
organic material make him, to be involved.
It just, yeah. It, but now he has a splintery wooden ass instead of a shiny metal ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Bender basically goes to has to upgrade due to a new robot in town. And the professor, of course, buys one. Bender basically has a fever dream that he gets downgraded and tries to take over New York and then comes back. And it was pretty good.
Petey, question for you. How do you feel about this twist of Bender having a fever dream relative to Leela having a fever dream?
So very different circumstances. Number one, it's kind of set up, like it zooms into him when he's like, and number two, I feel like this one was a fever dream that was very realistic. Like they did such a seamless transition. Oh,
like it didn't have the sort of weird fantastical things that Leela experienced.
Yes. There wasn't any like, and I know it's a cartoon, but there wasn't any like suspension of disbelief with it. It was like, no, right, Bender was definitely,
you know,
go
wooden robot and an island.
Exactly.
And,
you know, exiles
of obsolete robots. It's, and one of
it's
them
all table stakes.
Only table stakes. Has 1 megabyte of memory or whatever.
Right. Yes. Your mother. I remember that,
but now I forget the name of my wife and kids.
My favorite is when Bender's sailing to the island and the no boating sign, and he folds it up and makes it into a boat, and he's like, "Oh, thank you so much, merciful Poseidon!" And then it starts like
storming,
really heavily, and storming. He's like, "Curse you, merciful Poseidon!"
He still calls him merciful Poseidon.
He calls it, yeah, exactly. No.
Okay, coming in at number nine.
Number nine.
Episode number two. Quite the TJ.
Oh no!
Jurassic Bark.
Or nor did it only get 9th?
No, this got a rating of 4. So we are halfway through the list and we are already at 4. So I just wanted, that's how highly ranked these are in this season.
Oh,
so Jurassic Park, I gave it a 3.75 and you gave it a 4.25. Now, let me defend myself. I gave it a 3.75 because while it is a quality episode, it's not as funny. It's very sad.
Okay, that's
and
fair.
I think
I won't knock you on that.
I tend to rate that a little bit lower because in terms of repeat watchability, I don't like to watch the sad ones because they make me sad.
Agreed. Like, I don't like to watch The Sting. Sad.
There you go.
Bad for USA.
Bad for USA.
But yes, Philip Fry's dog, Seymour, is found as a fossil. The professor wants to basically extract the Nougaty Center, find the DNA,
then
clone the dog.
Because Fry thinks he wants the dog to be resurrected, but then we keep cutting back to all these memories of Seymour waiting and waiting for Fry to come back after he's frozen, and he never does. And Seymour is just so patient and loyal, and it's so sad.
Oh yeah, at the very end,
they
play
that
sad song.
Music. It's so sad. But then Fry decides, you know what? It's better that he already lived his life without me. Well, that's the sad part is Fry's like, he probably had a wonderful life without me.
I don't want to bring him back.
Seymour having a montage of his life and he's just waiting for Fry. And it's like, oh my God, that is so tragic.
I definitely cried the first time I saw this.
So tragic.
Multiple times.
Multiple. Everybody says it.
I was waiting for you to announce what number so I could do it.
Oh, coming in at number 8.
Number 8, but number 1 in our hearts, probably. Okay.
Episode 6, Less Than Hero.
Oh, this is a good one.
Now, this one earned a 4 flat, so we both scored it a 4.0. I believe this is the Miracle Cream episode?
Correct. Yes, exactly.
Miracle Cream. Miracle Cream.
Leela and Fry discover are given a cream by Dr. Flim Flam's Miracle Cream, I believe is what it's called.
Right. Then Zoidberg traded it for what?
And then he had 20 of my dollars and he was off to the next town.
20 of my dollars. Recently, PD and I decided what our Miracle Cream power or superhero names would be. And I believe you gave mine was the Quantum Quip or something.
Yes, the Quantum Quip or Quantum
and
Quipper.
Yours was the Ham Hawk, H-A-W-K.
So perfect.
So good.
The Ham Hawk. And what's my power? I just like take my like the hawk of my leg.
You can shoot
off
ham out of your fingertips. It's like ribbons of like sliced ham.
Can you imagine me like being in a meeting like so?
And then your boss is like, we need to plan catering for this office party, and they all look at you. And you're like, now is my time to shine.
Time to shine.
Just ham again?
Why does it taste like cigarettes?
Why does it taste like cigarettes and Meyer's Clean Day soap?
Right.
Oh my God.
Sick.
His ashtray ham.
Ashtray ham is exactly what it would be. Oh my God.
All right. Coming in at number 7.
Look at a birth of it.
Episode 15, Bender Should Not Be Allowed on TV.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
So this one scored an average 4.13. I gave it a 4.25, and you gave it a 4.
I stand behind what I gave it. I'll be the Simon Scowl this time.
There's no space travel, so maybe that's factoring into your...
That could very well be, but we get so much good Kalki. Lots
we
of
do
good,
have a lot of good. That was so bad it almost gave me cancer.
Cancer. Yes, exactly. A dramatic pause. I literally just read that was so bad it almost gave me cancer. We also get the network executive boss where she says it's one of the Tress McNeil. That's one of my favorite lines from network executive boss Beta. Yeah. Will it play in Peoria?
I like this one a lot. The Calculon especially. The Bender part is a little over the top, you know, because he just does his come on, Bender.
Come on, baby.
Come on, yeah.
Yeah.
But this does have the Fonza meter. They're scoring over 40 megafonzies.
And this is also, have you ever simply thought about turning off the TV, sitting down with your kids? And hitting them.
That segment sponsored by Hardcore Tutors.
That's right.
This also has the, what does Tinny Tim say? He says like, oh, hello, my good.
Oh, hello, like, my gentle jerkwads.
Gentle jerkwads. That's what it is. Yeah.
Forgot
I love
that
one. All right. Coming in at number 6.
Number 6.
Now, episode number 11, 300 Big Boys. Now, the notes on this are lost to the ages. This episode, we recorded at Daniel's house, and I did not have my notebook. And I had a piece of paper, and we wrote it down, and we probably –
I have the piece of paper, but I don't think we have – I had the piece of paper that had the actual zhuzh on it.
Oh, great. So you just have other paper. Awesome. Cool. Thanks. That's helpful.
It was a piece of paper that said...
I have the piece of paper, but just not the piece of paper you're talking about. I think what you meant to say was I have a piece of paper that is the same dimensions.
It was a piece of paper that said Daniel's cognition test, 0 out of 100. So that might be the ranking.
Daniel's IQ, 52.
Not too shabby.
Not too shabby.
300 Big Boys was actually a really phenomenal episode, though. That
it is
one.
Really good. So that one got 4.134 from me and a 4.25 from PD. Yes. This is the one where Nixon gives everybody 300 fun bucks to spend however they want as like a government surplus.
In the form of a tricky dick fun bill.
Yeah, and it's like a $300 bill that's like keeps track of how much money is left on it, which is actually kind of sick.
Right. Fry decides to drink 300 cups of coffee, but it's good to see like what all
we get a
the,
lot of other characters
exactly what all the like, characters
we get to
would
see
do
what a lot of everyone he's up to, which is fun.
We also get the
tattoos on Amy's ass here about this one.
What? Tell us.
Yeah, exactly. We also get the no more cheap crack houses for me, no boys. And then he walks up to a crack
pipe.
To a crack mansion.
It's like, it reminds me of the what is this? Tyler Bigum or whatever from.
Oh, Tyrone Bigum's. Tyrone. This will get us high for hours.
Where he gets a real estate license to sell the house of the people that let him live there so that he could have a huge crack party.
Tyrone's $350,000 crack party.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, great one. Lots of good, character development. I will say Zoidberg turns snooty because he gets $300 and thinks it's a bajillion. Kiff and Amy's development there. And then, of course, the very end, the denouement, if you will, where Fry hits the 100th cup of
coffee.
Well,
that's the climax.
And then, I would say that's like the wrapping up of things. No, you're right. That's the climax.
No, that's the climax.
Denouement would be like
the
when they have the turkey
dogs.
Eating
the turkey dogs.
Yeah, you're right.
I'll never say no to a turkey dog.
You're never too rich to enjoy a turkey dog.
I love his philosophy. It's like most people hate the turkey substitutes for stuff, for like pork or beef.
Yeah.
But I love that he's like all for it. No one's too rich to eat a turkey dog.
Yeah, no, very good episode. And mom blowing her nose in $1,000 or her $300 bill. She's like, that's walking around money. $1 billion.
$1 billion. All right, coming in at number five.
Number five.
Episode one, Crimes of the Hot. Now, it feels like we talked about this a year ago.
Higher.
4.25, even. We both give it 4.25.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that is the one where they have to cool the earth with the ice cube.
Yep, exactly. So global warming has become such an issue that they used to put an ice cube in giant ice cube in the ocean from Halley's Comet, just like Daddy puts in his dwink every morning. And then he gets mad. And so Halley's Comet runs out, and they've got to find another way to prevent global warming. And they go to the Kyoto conference, and everyone makes their pitch and everything. And then
right. And
they find out
where
it's
all we
the
get – our favorite warlock.
Yeah.
Moon sapphires. Oh, with those, I can open the gates of Karash.
We literally.
It's like, how did the warlock get invited to the science symposium?
Especially when the homeopath or the homeo.
Yeah. Homeopath. I've got a degree in homeopathic medicine.
You have a degree in baloney.
And then he gets like. Crowd
fire
hosed,
hosed.
Riot hosed or whatever.
Full riot hosed. Yes, a really good episode all around. And like space travel, we get lots of.
Because I talk about in my book, Harry Potter. No, I talk about in my book, The Balance of Earth. No, Earth and the Balance. Or my much more popular, Harry Potter and the Balance of Earth.
Al Gore guest star.
I love that. Yeah. Al Gore getting so desperate to try to educate people about it that he would just like
write the Harry Potter book.
Fine, I'll put it in a Harry Potter format.
It's worth it. Yeah. Also, we get all the robots on the Galapagos Islands, and I love that. Still, one of my favorite lines of the season is when they're all running around and they're like, "No, we're gonna get murdered! No!" And Smokerbot comes by and he's like, "Nixon's not bringing the smokes."
Right, because that's Nixon's excuse to escape from the island, is he's gonna go get some smokes.
Oh, you're back with smokes. Really good smokes.
Nixon's not gonna bring the smokes.
That is why it's in the
so
top.
Good. That's so
top
good.
Five.
All right, coming in at number four.
Number four.
Oh, I like that one. So number seven, Teenage Mutant Leela's Hurdles.
Really? This scored higher than? Okay. All right. Interesting.
Yeah. So this one got a 4.25 even. So same score as the one before.
Oh, okay. So it's a tie.
It basically tied. I didn't pay attention to that this time, so I apologize.
Close enough. There haven't been too many that I've heard. So this is where I believe the entire Planet Express crew turns young, and Leela has to take
Leela
care of
Leela becomes
them.
Like a teenager.
They all turn young from being in the basically like a space tar that's got graviolis or something in it that the professor explains.
Right.
And they all want to go back.
Chronotons.
Chronotons.
And graviolis.
Chronotons and graviolis. I think that's exactly what it is. And Leela decides that she wants to stay a teen so she can relive her childhood having parents.
Because this time she could actually be with her parents.
Right. Can't knock her for that. So she decides to stay out the second time, and everyone gets in the tar again and turns way too young. So then Leela has to babysit them all and kind of be the chaperone, the adult.
Yeah, chaperone's exactly. Good. Yeah.
We get a few good quotes in this one. I've had a few beers, man, but I'm cool to drive.
Ew, you smell like smoking and drinking.
Yeah, I've had a few beers, but I'm cool to drive.
And also another good one is
Nixon, stop bringing the smoke. The terror and urgency of that realization for Smoker Moss is so good.
So meanwhile, the world is literally ending around him.
Yeah, that's all he cares about. The party's not going to be as good.
So well done. I also love the line, "I'm still mid-peril, you clods."
Just a mid-peril. Like, Pazuzu.
Pazuzu. The professor is stuck in the thing. Pazuzu is his gargoyle from the beginning. End of that saving.
Not to trigger you, but I thought about Pazuzu the other day because I was thinking about Pazones.
Oh my god! They're now called like Pizza Diaz or something, and I get texts from Papa John, and apparently Shaq is sponsoring them.
Well, that's Papa John can't call them Pazones because it was Pizza Hut that sold Pazones.
Oh, right. So they call him like Pizza Diaz or something.
So it would have to be Daryl from The Office advertising it because he works for Pizza Hut now.
Oh, that's right. I like him. He's great. He's a great actor.
He's great.
What's he even done recently?
ads for Pizza Hut. I'm sure he's getting paid quite the hefty purse.
Yeah. What? Okay, the hefty purse. Why'd you say it like that?
Hefty purse? I like saying purse for like when you win something.
I love it. The purse? Yeah, I do. It's like a gambling term. Yeah. I love that.
But, or like boxing.
The manner in which
whatever.
You said it was like, quite the hefty purse.
No one's too rich for a turkey dog. He's like the old man version of Samantha.
I love
a turkey dog. Yeah. Okay, come in. We are now breaking into the top three. Coming in at number three. Episode number 8, The Why of Fry.
Ooh, which one is this? Excuse me?
I just forgot.
Oh, this is the brain, giant brains.
Right. This one's good.
Right.
I do miss the first one with the brains. And now I'm leaving for no reason.
It's hard not to conflate to two brain episodes in the series.
Yeah. But no, this one is with Scooty Puff Jr.
Yes, exactly. Fry is the one who's only needed because his he doesn't have a delta brainwave. Because he did do the nasty in the pasty.
I did do the nasty in the pasty,
which is exactly what this episode is from. So Fry has to save the universe from getting imploded on by the large brains because once they collect information,
they're going to destroy it.
They're going to destroy it so that they know everything. And then they do, but then Fry is able to – we learn that Fry is much more special than he really was – or than he has been because he was frozen at an exact nexus in time where it turned
to catch
from –
up to the year 3000.
Yeah, exactly, where it turned from 1999 to 2000. And so they were able to send him back, and then he stops Nibbler when he's squeezing him. Oh, yeah.
It may be a dead weasel
or a cartoon viewer?
Yeah.
They can't tell. And there's all these good things that Fry learns. Like, what is it? Stamps are made from toad mucus. The big brain killed the dinosaurs. Yeah, we get Scooty Puff Jr. sucks.
So they get Scooty Puff Sr.
Yes. Who's like the Doombringer.
Like World War II.
Yeah.
It's yeah. Like the Doombringer, it's World War II era plane painting or whatever, you know, like a barrel chested bird on it.
Smoking like the stub of a cigar.
Yeah. The Doombringer.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Coming in at number two. Episode number 10, The Farnsworth Paradox.
Oh,
this got a 4.88.
Holy schmoly.
So you gave it a 5, Petey. You gave it a 5.
That does not surprise me. It has a 5 in my heart and in my mind.
And in your fart.
And in my butt.
I gave this a 4.75, but obviously an amazing episode.
Absolutely. I mean, this episode has everything.
It's got that
my glorious golden ass. The box. Oh,
the box says no.
One of our favorites. And so,
this is the one where two versions of the professor make boxes with each other's universes in them.
Right, exactly. And
Zeus, God, Satan, help me. Somebody.
You owe me. Yeah, we get a lot of really
good...
It
says good Buddha!
Yeah, Buddha! Yeah.
You owe me!
We also get your favorite one. What about the fighting mongooses? That's
yes, cool that every time... Oh my gosh, I know I said this on the episode when we talked about it, but like I literally did that in grad school multiple times when we would do like group events or whatever, and we had to in class or whatever.
Have a team name. Yeah.
And have a team name, and I'd always be like, what about the mongooses? That sounds cool. The fighting mongooses. Everyone would just look at me like,
fuck.
No, we're not doing that.
I would have giggled. I would have given a hearty chortle. Yeah, no, this is so good. We get boatloads of interdimensional travel, which we never see in this series. We get lots of good quotes. Bite my glorious golden ass. So that's why you said. So that's why you said you had to go date that ghost or go on a date with that ghost.
Oh, right. Fry finds out that an excuse from Leela not to go on a date was an excuse, and he believed it.
Yeah. And then we get a lot of like, I would almost call it like, complimentary character development, because it's not character development.
It's sort of a what if episode in a way.
Exactly. It's kind of a what if, but it's also like we know that it's just a coin flip is the same. So we do know that Leela has feelings for Fry or Wood. We do know that.
So that means that when someone at the factory was making Bender, they said gold or nickel or whatever.
He chose it. He said when he was choosing his spray job.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah, he was like,
that means Hermes would have inspected a golden.
Yes, exactly. Inspector number 5, yeah.
Spoiler. We'll get to that episode later. All right. And we would have a drum roll, but our soundboard isn't working. So coming in at number 1.
Ding! Number 1.
Episode number 16. The season finale. The Devil's Hands are idle playthings. Now, Petey, this will make you happy. I did come back to my score, and I decided to revise it, which brings this up to a 5
on average. Holy guacamole. Because
when I thought about it again, I was like, this is really good. And also it being the like series finale, you know, yeah. It has a lot of weight on its back. And I do think that it deserves a hefty, whatchamacallit.
Rating. Yeah.
A hefty score.
Hefty score, my lord. I mean, we've got Dan Castellaneta as the guest actor or guest voice actor as Robot Devil. Beautiful, beautiful animation when it comes to the Holophoner and the visuals that are portrayed there. We've got.
And I like the way that they do like real people and then Fry as actors on the stage, opera actors,
yeah,
who are singing. But then Fry is like putting the costume on them.
From via the holophoner, yeah.
Right, right.
And even just the story is phenomenal. Like the robot devil's like machinations behind the scenes of his, what does he call it? Terribly circuitous plan coming through and getting everyone to do it. And the storytelling is really well done. There's a clear antagonist and protagonist in this one, where sometimes it's just like consternation between the crew and you kind of like don't really have that in a lot of the episodes. And again, a boatload of very, really good quotes. How hard did you say you had to hit your kid? Oh, fairly hard.
Fairly hard.
Exactly. Fork over those lady fingers, cookie. Jambi, more icing.
The chocolate icing, Jambi.
Yes, exactly.
These hands, they're touching me in places. Places.
Yeah, they get around. Zoidberg, two records for 1895.
I'll take eight.
I'll take eight. Yes, I mean, it's just – it's such a phenomenal, phenomenal episode. If only they the devil could have had a song in it. That's the only improvement I ever –
Well, he kind of did with the opera.
He did. Yes, he did.
He joins – he's part of a group number.
But you know how much I love the original devil. Cigars are evil. You won't miss them. So it's Jorge.
Well, they're in the middle of practicing when we see them in this episode. Exactly. And he's like, 200 years back, you were flat. Like, we need to go again.
Yes, Doug. You hit a flat note about 200 years back. Oh, my gosh. Well, that's the season.
Well, that is the season. That is crazy. When Petey and I come back next season, it is going. We will be going through the movies, which starts technically season six.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to cover those. Each movie is going to have its own recorded episode, so those will get through a little bit quicker than these. Mm-hmm. But before we wrap up,
it might be a little bit longer.
Yeah, before we wrap up this episode, Petey, it's time for your favorite part. At the end of the season, we tally up. Who won the trivia across the season?
Yes.
Now, Petey, give us another drum roll. Brrr. The winner is Daniel. Okay, and here are the statistics.
Oh my gosh!
Daniel wins with a 0.67 success rate on trivia. So that means you got 2 out of 3 questions right on average.
0.66.
That is you had. Now, this incorporates the lost trivia of episode number 11. So there's no numbers from that in this ranking. But that being said, you answered 31.33 out of 47 questions correctly, whereas I answered 31.35 out of 57 questions correct. So this includes a 0.5s and fractional things as well, obviously.
Yeah.
So here, this is the interesting thing. I technically answered more questions correct than you, but you asked so many more questions that is how you won. So this is a technique now that is tried and true. We've seen this across a few seasons. If I'm going to compare to season 4, I didn't tally it up the same way, so never mind. I can't easily see that quickly. but so congratulations, Petey. You are once again the trivia champion. Now, how many seasons have you won? 4? Is this 4 seasons you've won trivia?
No. You've won 2 at least.
No, because I think I got season 1 maybe, but I don't.
You got season 1, and then I think you got season 2 or 3. But I won 4 and 5.
Season 3. Season 3, you won.
Oh. Did you win 2 also?
But once again, I answered more questions in season 3 than you did. 43 correct to your 27. But you asked 61 questions that season. And I only asked 35. So it pays to do the homework, basically. That's what we're learning here.
I mean, sometimes it's 50% of it's just showing up, man. You got to show up with your questions. But you know what? I have a feeling that things might change because we're going to do a movie trivia, and we're going to have a trivia winner for that too.
Precisely.
That was the most
correct.
Just like the I could just hear the sound.
Okay. I get tired early in the winter. It's been dark for 3 hours.
Somebody put this wee little bear in a den.
Someone give me some sleepy time tea.
Sleepy time tea, thanks.
All right. Well, that's once again, we've crowned the winner, Petey. We would give you the cheer, but the soundboard doesn't work, so I'll give you this.
Okay.
And the crowd goes wild.
It's an honor. It made my day. I feel so much better now.
Okay, now you can finish the story about that unhinged guy.
I mean, that was pretty much it.
So I can't believe it.
That was just pretty much it. He had a client. And then sent me an email.
You're a client too, and you talked to the client, and then he got mad that you talked to the client.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, they're using our software.
You should save that email and send it to HR.
Yeah, don't worry. It's already being taken care of. And the voicemail I have to send to my boss.
Yeah, save that thing too.
She's going to be like, oh God. Okay.
Now I have to deal with this.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be dealing with this late in the quarter, but okay.
Wait, so he was like, what's your fucking problem?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Wow. Almost, yeah, verbatim.
Kids like, these days, huh?
What the fuck were you thinking? And I was like, have some class.
Bro, chill out,
bro.
Dog.
And he literally called me bro like 3 times. I was like, dude, you are an idiot.
I don't know if you missed your bump this morning, my guy, but you need to chill out.
Yeah, exactly. Like
that's seriously the way like a Wolf of Wall Street, like agitated guy, I feel like.
Right. Acts. Bro, no. Yeah, like, all right, chill the fuck out, man. But whatever. Hopefully I can.
Well, guys, that is it for season 5 of the cast. I cannot believe we have made it this far. Let's just take a moment to bask in how we've been doing this for like 2 years now. Almost.
Yeah. It's almost 2 years. Yeah,
I think in terms of recording comes up that we released these in January 22, I mean.
Oh, but for recording, we've been doing it in December. Oh, interesting.
We started in December 21. Oh,
dang.
My God. That's insane.
It just proves when you keep up at it, you can get over 30 listeners.
Well, I don't know if we've gone that far.
Shut your mouth.
As always, guys, you can find us on Threads at The Most Chill Bro. I did do my first update there, so you'll hear this. I mean, I did it. It's in the past for you now. But and please do support us on Patreon, patreon.com/worldoftomorrowpod. We love to see you there. Episodes come out a week early and they are ad-free. Well, nope, they're all ad-free because we don't get to have ads anymore. Thanks,
oh, yeah.
Spotify.
You're welcome. No, it's because we love you.
Anyway, yeah, it's because we love you. No, well, we're still in the red heavy for this podcast because our annual fees are they're not terrible, but we're not making close to that with the podcast.
Whoa, whoa, it's a profit thing, kid.
Don't worry, it's a profit thing,
kid. And as always, we'll love you forever. We'll love you,
we'll love you for always.
As long as you're listening, our friend you'll be. Play us out. Kalki. Who's that singing at your wedding? It's Calculon, Calculon, Calculon.
Bye.